Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us for the first time, a very special guest, Jennifer Dublin. And she is the Assistant Regional Census Manager overseeing the 2020 Census jobs recruitment for the New York Regional Census Center. Previously, she held a marketing and consultant position with General Motors. Thank you for coming on Reaching Out. This is a very, very important thing that you're doing. It's a very important service that you're providing for New York, and it's very important that our listeners understand and participate.
Yes, and thank you so much for inviting the census to the show today.
So, those are listening, every 10 years we hear about the census. For our listeners who are hearing about the census and say, why should I get involved? What is the census?
Okay, so the census, simply stated, is a population count of every single person living in the United States. And like you mentioned, it is every 10 years. And every 10 years, we have one chance to count the population and to get an accurate count of every single person living in the states.
So, why should we be concerned with the census? What is the result of the census? What is the advantage of participating in the census?
Okay. So the census centers around a few things, but the most important things are money and power. So for money, there's over $675 billion in federal funds that are distributed throughout the states. The way that those funds are distributed are based upon the population. The statistics that we provide with the population also support the distribution of funds for programming that we need in every single community. So that could be roads, schools, hospitals, programs such as Medicaid, SNAP, Head Start. So several programs that communities need, everything is impacted based upon the population count. That's why the population count is so important. Something else to keep in mind is the appropriation for the House of Representatives. The appropriation of the House of Representatives also comes from the population count. States can lose seats or gain seats simply based on the population. It is very important that we have an accurate count of every single person, because after the census, we also redistrict, and redistricting is also based upon population.
So if we don't participate in the census, we're going to have less money for our programs that we need. We can have potentially less representation in Washington, and we could actually send more tax dollars to D.C. and get less tax dollars back because we're undercounted.
Yes, if we undercount, there is a chance that we will lose funding, and the funding will go to states that do show population growth. So when those funds are distributed, they are distributed solely based upon the population count that we take. And so everyone is aware, we get one chance to do this, so we need to make sure it's as accurate as possible, because we will be stuck with our population count until 2030. So it's critically important for every single person to be counted in the right place in one time so that we can ensure that we have an accurate count for this population count.
And when is the census count?
So the census is actually happening right now. The census has been ongoing. We have been out there recruiting and working with partners in our communities for over a year, trying to ensure that the message is out there. The census is live, and every single household in the middle of March will receive an invitation from the census. And this year is unique for us because this time, when a household receives the invitation, they are able to respond three ways. They can respond online, they can respond via phone, or the traditional way, which is through the paper questionnaire.
Now, what should we look for? You says it's going to be the middle of March. The information is going to come in. What kind of envelope is it in? How big is the envelope?
Okay. Yes, so around March 12th, every household will receive some sort of mailing. The mailing actually will vary, but the mailing will come around March 12th, and it will give you the invitation and give you the various ways in which you can respond to the census. If you do not respond, we will continue to send mailings to your home through March and through April. April 1st is Census Day. So Census Day is a day that we would love for every single person to have their census data completed. If they do not respond through the three methods, we will then send someone to your home, a census taker, who will then try to gather the information that needs to be recorded.
Yeah. Yes. What does the envelope look like? It's just...
So yeah. Everyone will not receive an envelope initially. Okay. Some households will receive postcards, and some households will receive the traditional envelope with the questionnaire.
Okay. So if we don't respond... Someone may come knock on our door to ask us the information that we didn't respond to.
Yes.
When is the census due back? When is the cutoff date? When is the count supposed to occur?
We, at the census, report the population count to the executive branch on December 31st, 2020. We would love for every single person, when they receive their invitation to the census, to complete it before April 1st. Again, we will continuously send mailings to homes, and then we will begin knocking on doors and trying to get that information through summer.
Okay. Now, for those who don't, census due December 31st, you say, 2020?
That's when we deliver.
That's when you deliver.
Yes. We hope to have the responses by July.
Okay. So if you don't have the responses by July, what is the last ditch effort that you're going to say, you know what, we got to make a last push? Because it's always a last push. You get some stragglers. No matter how hard you work, somebody's still lagging behind. Somebody misses those deadlines. What are we going to do for that?
That's a great question. So something that we are implementing, we're going to have highly mobile assistance centers located throughout various communities based upon the response. So what the census is preparing to do, we will look at the live response data every single week, and we will go to those neighborhoods, and we'll go to places in which we know have high traffic, and we will try at that point to get some people to respond who have not. So at those centers, we will also have census staff who will be able to answer questions or maybe talk to some of the reluctant responders, and hopefully we can get them to respond right there on the spot.
That's very good. So we went over this, but I can't emphasize, let's go over the why again, only because there's somebody sitting there saying, I'm not going to participate. What's in it for them?
Every single thing we do on a day-to-day basis has some census impact. In other words, walking down the street, in order for that road to have been built, we needed to know that people needed to walk on that road. If you have children that go to schools, if you're sick and need to go to a hospital, if there's a fire and we need to deploy firefighters, all of those things are all based upon census data. If we do not have accurate counts, we are not able to provide the services needed to the community. If we know there are deficits and things that we need in our communities, or we feel our communities are being underserved, that is the most critical thing that they can do to help themselves and help their future generations, is to ensure that we have an accurate count of every single person living in every single household.
Well, if you haven't gotten the point by now, we got to go with... And the reason we're doing this, because this is so important that we're doing this. This is almost a public service announcement. And we're going to replay this broadcast each month during this year, because one, we can, and two, it's that important. So some of us are hearing this message over and over and over again, but this is that important. And what is at stake?
Again, the biggest two things are at stake are the loss of funds to our communities that we know need them. When we undercount ourselves. We are not getting the most money, and we will not have the services to benefit every single person that we need. So we are at stake of the reduction of funds that are appropriated to us if we are not counted. Something else is, of course, the seats. We are at risk of losing congressional seats based upon the reduction of population. We need people to fight for us. We need people in our communities to go to these organizations or go to the lawmakers and help us get the things that we need. So when we lessen our voice, we're also lessening the strength of the community.
Now here's something. It's not stated, but I am not supposed to be here. I'm an illegal immigrant. I'm not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. Now, if I participate in the census, I may be discovered.
Nope. You will not be discovered if you participate in the census. The census does not ask if you are a citizen or an immigrant. We do not care. The only thing we care about is to get the population count. We also have something called Title 13 that protects the census data. The census is not allowed to share any of the information that we collect with city, county, state, or federal agencies. All of our information is strictly confidential and protected. So again, we do not care where you were born. We just need to count you and ensure that we have an accurate count in the communities.
Now, some of us remember last year that Wilbur Ross tried to include questions in the census. Those questions are not included in the census.
That is correct. There is no citizenship question on the 2020 census questionnaire.
Well, that's important. That's important for our listeners to understand. That's important for our listeners to know that the federal laws prohibited those questions from being put on the census because there are going to be thousands of people who don't want to participate for fear of that.
And something else I want to mention, especially in the five boroughs and the surrounding areas, I know this comes up a lot when we talk about families living together or maybe families living or occupying spaces illegally. And again, the census does not care about those sorts of things. We are not concerned with city ordinances and things of that nature. We will not report back that, you know, a one bedroom has 12 people living in it. We are collecting the data for statistical purposes only.
Very good. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest is Jennifer Dublin, Assistant Regional Census Manager, overseeing the 2020 Census Jobs and Recruitment for the New York Region Census Center. Now, I'm a concerned citizen. How can I get involved?
Oh, I love this question because every single person in the community can impact the community by getting involved. So there are a few ways you can get involved. So although the census is a national effort, we are not successful unless it is done on a community level. The census will hire thousands of people to work for us. We understand that it's very important to see a familiar face when you're participating with the census, to see a familiar face on the other side of the door when we knock and we ask for your information. So because of that, the census has a very robust recruitment program in which we recruit people from almost every corner of the community. We're looking for every ethnicity, every nationality. We're also looking for people that speak every single language in that community. So recruitment is very serious and very important for the census. For the first time, you can actually apply to a census job online. So if you go to 2020census.gov/jobs, you're able to apply for the census by taking a short assessment, also completing a short application. Once you successfully complete the application and the assessment, you will be in the applicant database for the duration of the 2020 census. So some of those jobs that I'm mentioning that you can apply to using the 2020census.gov/jobs would be our census field supervisors, our enumerators or census takers. We have clerical support and also office supervisors that are available for employments through that. Another way to apply to jobs is USA Jobs usajobs.gov, which houses some of our other positions as well. So the jobs on 2020census.gov for New York City, they're part-time, extremely flexible. We have paid training, and the pay rate in New York City is actually $28 per hour. So we are paying census takers in New York City $28 per hour to be involved and enumerate or ask the questions on the census questionnaire to people in their local communities.
What are the hours?
The hours are actually set up by you. So when you're hired by the census, you will actually input the hours in which you can work, and the work will be given to you based upon your availability.
And what are the what's the age?
So you need to be 18 years old to work for the census. However, if you're 17 and will be 18 soon, you can still submit your application and the system will automatically qualify you on your birthday. So 18 years old.
Okay. And how soon, we're talking about February, March, how soon is that 18-year-old cutoff?
So we will continuously be selecting people to work for us through 2020. So if they turn 18... in 2020, they could still have a chance of being selected.
That's very good. That's very good. That's a nice job for high school students and college students looking to earn money for the tuition.
And it is. Another great thing about the portal that we use is that applicants can actually go into the portal at any time and update their status. For example, if a college student right now is in school in Michigan, but they'll be coming home to New York in May, they can change their address when they're home, and then they potentially could be selected for employment and make $28 an hour for the summer.
Now, to apply again for the jobs, where do they apply?
2020census.gov/jobs.
And census is spelled?
C-E-N-S-U-S. So 2020census.gov. /JOBS.
That's a wonderful opportunity for, say, part-time employment. $28 an hour is almost nearly twice the minimum wage.
Twice the minimum wage.
Yes. So,
I did want to tell you other ways that the community can be involved
Please.
As well. So we have something called partnership specialists. They are in the community every single day, and their main goal is just to meet partners and different organizations and spread the awareness about the census. If anyone is interested in becoming a partner, they can reach out on 2020census.gov. We have a partnership toolbox. They can download materials and find out really cool things about the census. They also can email us at new.york.rcc.partnership@2020census.gov. Let me say that again. new.york.rcc.partnership@2020census.gov. And we have partnership specialists in every single community that represent different languages, different nationalities, different ethnicities. And their job is to make partners and spread the awareness. Every single person that's listening to this can also be a partner. They can tell their friends, they can tell their children, they can tell their loved ones, they can talk about the census at the barbershop or at the laundromat, they can put it in the church bulletin. There are so many ways that every single one of us can impact the community by simply just sharing the message that the census is coming and that they should be on the lookout for their invitation so that they can respond to the census.
Now, do you have volunteers, not volunteers, do you have employees going around to every church, every barbershop, every beauty parlor, all of the local eateries, everything else, just asking the owners just to post up signs about the census?
Yes, we have a very robust grassroots initiative where we do just that. So we have recruiting assistants and partnership specialists, and that is their main job. Their main job is to go to every single place that we know people visit, talk to those owners, see if we can put up a flyer, talk to the pastor, see if we can come back and have an event at church, you know, talk to the community center, see if they're willing to host a job fair. So we are doing events all over the country. country, specifically in New York City, several events a day in every single borough just to ensure that the word is out there and that people are aware of the importance of the census.
That's very good. Very good. So what's being done to help with the undercount of children?
Okay. So an estimated 5% of kids under the age of 5 were missed in the 2010 census. So about 1 million babies and young children were not counted in the 2010 census.
How many?
About 1 million babies and young children were not counted in the 2010 census.
And as a result of that, what is your estimated loss in did we lose a congressional seat? We lost funding?
Actually, we did lose a congressional seat last census. Of course, we lost lots of funding. Things like Head Start,
yes,
after school programs, mm-hmm, lunch at schools and,
yes,
breakfast. All of those programs are funded by census data. If we cannot show that these children and babies exist, we cannot plan for them in the future. That is why it is critically important for us to ensure that we are counting children. The census has a really good initiative called Statistics in Schools. And that initiative is talking to the schools, working with the teachers, ensuring that the students are taking home literature and are talking to their parents about the importance of the census also.
That's very good. I'm glad you let our listeners know the very importance of making sure children under the age of 5 are counted in the census going forward, because if they're 5 and under, they're going to be 13 to 18 years old.
Exactly.
When the next census,
exactly,
comes.
So if they were 2 years old in 2010, they would be 12 years old now. So if we undercounted that 2-year-old, we could be deficient in many things to support them. Hospitals, schools, roads, you know, you name it. So all of those things are very important. We must count the children.
Okay. What are the specific issues that renters have in being counted?
Renters, I don't know if it's because they're renters, but every single person needs to be counted. They should not feel that they do not need to be counted because they're renting, especially in places like New York City, where we have so many renters. We care about every single person, whether you rent or you own. That does not matter to us. We're simply trying to get a population count. And again, we need to count every single person. So the specifics of income, whether you rent, whether you own, those things do not matter to us. So we want to empower every single person to respond to the census.
Now, how about the homeless person on the street and the people living in shelters?
Great. That is an excellent question. We have specific operations designed to count those populations. We do service-based enumeration at food shelters and soup kitchens and things like that. And we also have a national night out. It's actually April. And we will go around overnight and count the homeless population in those identified places that we know that the homeless usually gather.
Okay. So once again, if I want to get involved, I missed the website. I missed the information. You said $28 an hour for people. How would I apply?
Again, it's $28 for census takers in New York City. You would go to 2020census.gov/jobs. That's 2020census.gov/jobs. At that portal, you would create an account, take an assessment, complete a short application, and then you would be in our database for the duration of 2020 census jobs. If you would like to be a partner, you can reach out to us at new.york.rccpartnership at 2020census.gov. So again, let me spell that one out. It's going to be new.york.rcc.partnership at 2020census.gov.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. This was a very, very important topic. So our very special guest was Jennifer Dublin, Assistant Regional Census Manager overseeing the 2020 Census. And we will replay this over and over again throughout the year.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.